Grace, mercy, and peace are yours, given from the loving hand of God for the sake of His Son, Jesus Christ. God's Word before us, the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 26th chapter, verses 57 through 68. Those who had arrested Jesus took Him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of the law and the elders had assembled. But Peter followed Him at a distance, right up to the courtyard of the high priest. He entered and sat down with the guards to see the outcome. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so that they could put Him to death. But they did not find any, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward and declared, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'" Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, "Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?" But Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to Him, "I charge you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. "But I say to all of you, in the future you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." And then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look, now you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" "He is worthy of death," they answered. Then they spit in His face and struck Him with their fists. Others slapped Him and said, "Prophesy to us, Christ. Who hit you?" So far, the Word of God. Lord, guide us in truth. Your Word is truth. By His wounds, we are healed. He was wounded by injustice. Pretty clear to see here. This is a travesty of justice. 21st century Americans are, as a whole, very sensitive to the idea of justice. If you've been awake at any time in the past year or so, you will have heard of many instances of people marching for justice. People coming out and calling themselves social justice warriors. And it comes from this concept that when someone does wrong, there's a victim created. And the victim deserves justice. A righting of the wrong, or restitution, or at least an attempt at this idea. But it isn't the mob that determines justice. It isn't the court of public opinion that determines justice. It's the law. Law determines justice. Those ideals which are higher than the situations that may come up. The law won't discriminate. It judges equally. But when the law is misrepresented and twisted, it wounds even more. It takes that which everyone should be able to count on and removes it, leaving the victim truly alone and suffering from the wounds of injustice. Nearly every sentence of the passages before us tonight contain wounds of injustice upon Jesus. When they came to arrest Him, they found Him in a quiet place, surrounded by close friends with no intentions of rioting or harm. Yet they came on Him with weapons and force. They came in the middle of the night, between 1 a.m. and 2 a.m., when they could surprise him. And when none of those people who had been praising him mere days before could have any possibility of intervening. And then circumventing a proper order, we're told in John chapter 18 that they brought him first to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. And this is important to note because Annas was the former high priest. He was taken to the guy who was really in charge in the Jewish circles. He was given the honor of the preliminary hearing. If Annas had determined that Jesus was guilty, the case was practically settled. The clandestine nature of this preliminary hearing lets us know that propriety, proper order, all of the things you expect from good courts, not involved. There never was a chance for Jesus to be found anything other than guilty. So Annas sends Jesus to Caiaphas bound in hands and bound for death. Now, they still thought they had to find a way to convince this court of the judgment which had been, if not already passed by Annas and Caiaphas, certainly condoned by them. So in the dark of the night, people came forward to bear testimonies. Now, I'm no lawyer, but I know that false testimonies in court can be stricken from the record, and that juries can be instructed to completely ignore and not consider any of the information that came out as they are rendering their judgments. Lying in court is not tolerated, yet many came forward with falsities about Jesus. This continued for some time. Jesus was arrested after 1 a.m, and we'll be told that he was taken to Pilate when it was morning, meaning after it was light. So for at least 4 hours, the court listened to lies and half-truths about Jesus. And even as they lied through their teeth, they couldn't get their story straight. The only statement that got any traction whatsoever was a misquote about the destruction of the temple from 3 years ago. And Jesus destroyed any validity of that argument with his silence. You can hear the realization of that in Caiaphas' words as he jumped up and yelled at Jesus. And what happened next really shows both irony and injustice. Caiaphas charged Jesus under oath to speak the truth. Now this was to catch Jesus in his own quote-unquote lies. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God. Now, were Jesus to answer in the negative here, he would completely invalidate and undermine all of the gospel work that he had done for the past years. And if he answered positively with the truth, well, he did. And that is the irony and injustice. As Jesus answered with the truth, he was condemned for it. The only true testimony that whole court session was twisted and used to condemn the innocent. Aside from all the physical wounds which Jesus endured during his trial, he bore just as many psychological wounds. Every lie which was believed, every accusation that was given any credence at all was a blow of injustice. Arguably, the greatest blow of injustice was the exchange for Barabbas. It's said that the value of something is determined by what someone is willing to pay for it. And by saying that they would pay Jesus to have Barabbas, the people were saying that they valued Barabbas more. They would part with Jesus to have him, a known and admitted murderer, for a known and innocent man. And no one spoke. Isaiah chapter 53 is the guiding theme for our Lent this year, by his wounds. Verse 8, the first half, according to the 2011 NIV. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? The courtroom trials of Jesus are an example of insult to injury. Every time he turned around, he was being abused either by hands or words or courts. And as no one stood for him and protested against what was going on, he was more isolated and more victimized in his human nature. Truly, he was despised. His own human nature cried out as he became so alone, wounded by injustice. The pages of history are littered with the stories of injustice and what has been done about it. As the monarchy in France was unjust towards the people revolted. They overthrew the existing systems and put in their own, some of which are still in existence today. The outcry of taxation without representation fueled some of the American resistance to the British crown. The injustice and oppression of the government, the British government, caused the early settlers to rise up and form the nation that we live in today. And even today, the news reports of demonstrations, riots, and revolts in direct response to injustices, perceived or real. The fact of the matter, injustice creates a need. A need to set things right. To stop the offending action and take care of the victim. Injustice must be set right. Any decent human being stands up against injustice. Yet for Jesus, no one spoke. Jesus himself remained silent. Even God did not stand against this injustice. Why? For the will of God. It was God's will that this happened. That Jesus became the most despised to satisfy the righteous law and bring his creation home. Jesus bore this injustice for us. This is so important. This is how seriously God takes sin. Our sin separates us from God, from the smallest thought to the greatest action. It is an injustice to God. God created this world for his creation to live in perfect harmony and true joy. And how did they respond? By going against his will. By falling. By choosing to sin. And it wasn't only that time. We continue to this day to perform the same injustice to God. He has done so much for us, giving us all that we have in life and all that we need for eternal life, yet our response is to sin, to seek our own way. This makes God the victim of injustice. ungratefulness. He has every reason and every right to say, according to his law, that justice is served by condemning all of us to hell. But he doesn't. God, who determines justice, says the wrongs will be made right. He will set things right by using his own Son. In justice to God, Jesus was punished. He was punished for the crimes of all people for all time. A punishment to fit the crime. God knew that in order for the punishment to be just, it must be borne to completion, and only he could do it. The severity of the punishment was the deepest, the worst thing that we could possibly imagine, the only punishment for sin, the forsaking of God. Jesus bore this injustice of men for the justice of God. As our hymn just said, the deepest stroke that pierced him was the stroke that justice gave. And the stone rolls away. God's justice is satisfied in Christ. Jesus righted the scales in heaven. He atoned for everything which we could not. For our sins, Christ was wounded. For our sins, Christ died. For our salvation, Christ rose. To do a total injustice to us, Jesus sacrificed his life and took it back up, that we have an inheritance in heaven. Jesus did his best. For sure, this is an injustice. We have done nothing to earn this glory. There's nothing we could ever do to get anywhere near that. Yet for the sake of Christ, it is ours. It's only right then that we acknowledge what he has done. We take time in Lent to look at the suffering of our Savior and know why he did it. Out of love for God, who loves us. And so we praise his glorious name for what he has done for us. And when he comes again, sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One, we will praise him all the more. His obedience to God's will has determined the path for our future. When we see him coming on the clouds of heaven, we see our home, our eternal dwelling. And we shall feel no fear on that day as we stand before God and know that there is only one injustice left. And that's for us to walk right into heaven for Jesus' sake. And God will smile approvingly at this. Justice is about what is fair, the truth of right and wrong. What Jesus bore was an injustice upon him. What he faced in the courts of the Sanhedrin was the very definition of a kangaroo court. He bore it, the wounding of injustice for us. For the creation that he loved so much that he called the crown of what he had made. It isn't fair that he suffered and we inherit. And thank God for it. For by his wounds we are healed. Amen. And the peace of God that comes to us only through the blood of our Savior Christ is yours beyond all understanding.